Up next, the inventor and the opera. To Nikola Tesla's long list of accomplishments, physicist, inventor, electrical engineer, we can now add opera star, at least in absentia. Earlier this week, Violet Fire, a multimedia opera that highlights the life of Tesla, had its American debut at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in Brooklyn, New York. And if you know anything about Tesla, and I know a lot of you do from email, you know that he was regarded by his peers as an inventor ahead of his time. He invented the electric motor that made our current lifestyle possible. He had ideas about drawing out energy from the Earth and its atmosphere, with the idea of making electricity free to everyone. He was friendly with the likes of Mark Twain and George Westinghouse, whom he helped to defeat Thomas Edison in the battle to electrify the United States. But he was also a tragic figure, making his triumphs and failures the stuff of which great theater is made. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this segment, the opera Violet Fire. Terry O'Reilly is director of the opera, which opened at the Brooklyn Academy of Music earlier this week. Welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, it's very good to be here.
What makes him such good theater?
Well, Tesla is a combination of a lot of very important things to what it means to be human. He had a very strong spiritual side. He had a tremendous gift of scientific understanding. And also, he was a bit of an artist. And so I think that his life itself is a kind of a triangulation of some very powerful things that all of us can feel. I like to say that there's a little bit of Tesla in all of us, and he is a man not only out of time, but quite exaggerated all of the components of what it means to be human he had. And so by taking a look at his life, we really feel what it is like for us to pursue our own aspirations.
We're going to play a little segment. We have a couple three segments from the opera. Before we hit the break, I want to play one little segment so you can get a feel, and our audience get a feel for what it sounds like, and we'll talk more about it. And this comes at the opening scene at the very beginning, where Tesla is on stage, basically singing to himself.
Perhaps I was a little premature. Perhaps far ahead of time, my tower. The transmission of electrical energy without wires as a means of furthering peace.
And there's Tesla talking about two separate ideas. One of the he's ahead of his time, and he has an idea that he wants to do this to further peace.
That's correct. He had this idea that he could transmit electrical energy in a way that would be impossible for it to be contained or put inside of a border or put inside of a bill, for that matter. So you could
made a lot of people angry with that.
A lot of people were resisting
free
this
electricity.
Idea. Yeah. So we had even the idea of electricity too cheap to meter, but this was electricity that simply was available to everyone. And I think that he did this because he felt that there was a need to free humanity as a group from labor, so we could put our minds on higher things.
But he acknowledges a few times in the opera that he thinks he's ahead of his time in life.
That is correct. And I think that that's pretty much the way that he is perceived, a man out of time, ahead of his time. Many of the things that he saw, we have to remember this is 1880, the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the technical and scientific explosion, where we thought science was going to save us, was going to lead us into the future, and people had very earnest ambitions to improve the world in ways that we might see naive today. But Tesla was imagining today's world, a wireless universe, where not only electricity, but voice and he foresaw television, those things would be presented in a way that's sort of like a little like Google in a way, where this information is available for free. We're not going to make a profit of it because it's too important, and a profit motive would hold it back.
All right, Terry, I'm going to have to stop here. We're talking with Terry O'Reilly, director of the opera Violet Fire, which opened at Brooklyn Academy of Music earlier this week. We'll come back with your questions, talk more about Nikola Tesla. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking with Terry O'Reilly, director of the opera Violet Fire, which opened at the Brooklyn Academy of Music earlier this week, about the life of times of Nikola Tesla. One of the major components of this beautifully, beautifully produced operetta, the staging is just magnificent. It's bare. The stage is almost bare. It's minimalist, right? Why was that chosen as a way?
Well, it's a multimedia opera, and we thought that we would identify a projection as design. So we wanted to create surfaces for which these projections could take place. But for me, it's also like a Chinese opera, where you have open space storytelling. You have a bare stage, and you bring the performance to it through the body of the performer.
Mm-hmm. And it was very effective because even though there are a few things going on at once, it's very effective in conveying the mood. The music is terrific also. But.
Yes, the music is really beautiful. Many people in Belgrade, where we had the world premiere, are deeply, deeply steeped and knowledgeable about classic opera in ways that we could only be envious. They were really blown away by John Gibson's music. They called it so romantic and so beautiful, and they'd never heard anything like it. They came out with very few prejudgments on what it means to make minimalist music. They just thought it was mm-hmm. gorgeous.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the play. Some interesting highlights. And I'll read from the libretto in which one of the reporter talks about, and it's mentioned over and over. It says, at night and in secret, Nikola Tesla lavishes his love on pigeons. Midnight, in the hour of his visits, every midnight for the last 5 years, he calls them down to where he stands and scatters the seed on the grass. And this is a recurring theme throughout the whole operetta. What is the meaning of the pigeons in this operetta?
Well, it's actually true. It's factual. Mm-hmm. Tesla was an immigrant. He came, as many people did, to the United States for opportunity and to find a way to have his ideas be born fully. And at the end of his life, he had not had an investor for more than 20 years. He was, let's say, in his 70s. He lived to be 93, by the way. He was could often be found in Bryant Park here in New York City feeding pigeons in the park. Really unknown. This would be like... someone like David Bowie sitting in the park and nobody knows who he is, even though he played all this great music.
And he was very famous at that
time. Incredibly famous. At his time, he was probably the most famous scientist in the world.
Mm-hmm. Let's play a little bit more from scene two. This is an interesting one. I know this is a piece that you liked in particular, wanted to select it. And this is Tesla and the White Dove. Who's playing the White Dove?
This is... Mirjana Jovanović. She's from Serbia, and she is in full bloom as a soprano voice. You will hear it. We love it.
And Tesla's played by?
Tesla's played by Scott Murphy.
A very beautiful part of the duet here.
The sun dips down, the day is spent. Rushing below, she must begin again. The sun dips down, the day is spent. Rushing below, she must begin again. There is no wing to lift me from the ground. To follow always, I'll dwell the sun, the shining dream, even as I came.
That's just a little bit from that duet. Very beautiful music. Was there great thought in putting what kind of music was needed here?
Yes, exactly. This is the moment of absolute full exaltation where Tesla has... I would compare it to Einstein's moment on the lake when he conceived of the theory of relativity. Mm-hmm. This amazing moment in the park in Budapest where he looks out over the bridge and he sees the sun and he imagines for a moment the sun revolving around the earth, and he conceives of the rotating magnetic electric field and has a... what we could only call a suite of ideas that formulated alternating current and led to radio. as a matter of fact. So this is the moment when Tesla has only a blindingly bright future ahead of himself and an ambition to help humanity, I would say.
Of course, there does come the downturn in his life, and we have a little bit about that with being sung by Catherine being played by...
This is Dragana Stankovic.
Okay, thank you. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Something's not right. It's all gone too far. Prometheus, you brought us far, but your fire isn't right. Burned into the skin.
All your great inventions, all your great intentions will ruin us. What has turned wrong?
Well, this is really the moment in the opera where we get to really the crux of Tesla's difficulty. I think it is something that our contemporaries, people living today, working on the Manhattan Project very hard with an idea that they would stop war by creating weapons that were unbelievably terrible and would not be used, and if they were, would annihilate. These people, I think, had very, very deep second thoughts about their use of their energies for something that would then turn in a way that they could not control. Now, Tesla was probably a model in a lot of ways for a solo inventor who wanted to be completely in control of how his ideas were functioning well. And his arch rival Edison was much more in the realm of using his inventions in a way that were I'm sort of veering off onto to Edison, which I did not intend
but
to do.
But he's a very big part of Tesla's life, Edison.
Actually, we leave Edison a little bit out of the opera. Mm-hmm. There's a question that the reporter says. He says, so why is Edison so famous when he's here scattering seeds on the ground? After all, Tesla was the inventor of alternating current, and many people say this device that we're talking on radio was invented by Tesla. At least Marconi used 17 of his patents to demonstrate radio. So Tesla was largely the inventor of very many things for which he never really profited, and he lost the control of. And I think this is the place that is really so poignant for Tesla, is that he is back in the park feeding the pigeons, and he has reached a point where he saw maybe that his inventions, things that he could see, things that he could imagine, maybe should not actually be released into the world.
Hmm. Well, so what's the future of Violet Fire now? In a short, very short run here in Brooklyn?
Well, this is the U.S. premiere. We have the world premiere in Belgrade. We're looking for a European tour to go back to Europe. There's interest in Australia as well. And we have hopes of going to Chicago with the Lyric Opera. And so this would be we'll be putting it to bed, so to speak, for about 6 to 8 months and taking it out on tour.
Well, that's great, because I recommend it highly to anybody. Watch for it coming to your town. It's just a beautiful production. Thank you. Thank you, Terry O'Reilly, director of Violet Fire, which opened at the Brooklyn Academy of Music earlier this week.